6. We'll read down through 12. Matthew 7:6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Thank you, Father, for your word. Now help us, I pray, to understand what you're saying in this passage to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Since Jesus Christ is preaching here, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And he's really telling us what kingdom life is going to be like when Jesus comes back and rules this world from Jerusalem in his 1,000-year millennial kingdom. This is what life's going to be like. But as Christians, this is what our life needs to be like now. In other words, when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, that has future aspect but also present. And so we should be seeking the rulership of the Lord Jesus in our lives right now because he is King, he is the Lord. And so he's talking about these things. And if this is, this has to be one of the most important, I think I've said this every week, but really one of the most important parts of the message. It's kind of the crux of the whole matter, verse 12 is. And it kind of comes as a part, it's kind of a bridge, these verses before that, between chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, where he talks about judging. He says, judge not lest you be judged. In other words, that fault-finding, critical spirit that the Pharisees had. And he said, that's how they are. You don't want to be anything like that. You want to be able to help people, but not by having that kind of a spirit. And then he says in verse 12, therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So on one side, it's judge not lest you be judged. Don't have that critical fault-finding spirit. On the other side, he says, you should do unto people as you would have them do unto you. So the question is, wow, how do we do that? And he gives us the how-to in verses 7 through 11. The how-to. So we're going to look at the how-to. Now this verse 12 has been called the golden rule. You may have heard it called that. Other religions have something similar. We're going to touch on that in a few minutes. In James, he calls it the royal law. In James chapter 2, let me just read that for you. James 2, 13, if you want to, or 2, verse 3. If you want to write that down, he says, it's not 2, 3. Maybe it is 2, 13. Oh, wow, I lost it. Sorry. The royal law. I lost it. But anyway, it'll come back to me. But it's the royal. He's basically saying the same thing over again. He said it in Matthew where he talked about on these two laws the commandment rests. Love thyself, love thy neighbor, love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and love thy neighbor as thyself. So this has been called the golden rule, and we're going to look at how we can do this. How do we exercise this rule? Number one, 2:8. Okay, thanks, Karen. I needed that. I needed that before I go on. James 2:8. If you fulfill the royal law, that's it. According to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. And he's quoting Jesus, of course, in Matthew chapter 22. So, how do we do this? That's a very tall law, really. It's a very tall command to fulfill. But how do we do it? Well, number one, God's promises supply what we need. And this is seen in verses 7 and 8, where he says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that seeketh, asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. This isn't a blanket statement for everyone that heard the sermon that day. It's for believers. The everyone means everyone who is a follower of Jesus Christ. There are prerequisites given in the Word of God for answered prayer. The first one is, we have to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Remember back in, by the way, this is the second time prayer is mentioned in the Sermon on the Mount. And it's the only time something is mentioned. In other words, he touches on prayer twice, because prayer is a very important thing in the Christian's life. But knowing Christ as our personal Savior, the promise of answered prayer is for God's children. Remember in the model prayer where he says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. Prayer, to be answered, you have to be on praying ground, a child of God. You know, I love a lot of people, and I love children, but only three children are my children, right? That they can come up to, they can call me their father. Now, eight grandchildren can get just about anything they want, but, you know, but there's a relationship there. That's what I'm trying to say. John 1 and 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That power is authority. We have authority. We have privileges as being a child of God. And one of those privileges is being able to go to our Father and ask. Go to him and ask and seek and find and knock. So that's one prerequisite. The second one is obedience to his will. Obedience to God's will. 1 John chapter 3. First John in chapter 3, in verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So we have the promise of answered prayer if we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And then just over on the next page, chapter 5 of 1 John and verse number 14. And this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. According to his will. In obedience to his will. All of those things, these are prerequisites to answered prayer. In other words, when we pray and God doesn't seem to be answering, doesn't have it, you know, maybe you, it seems like something's not getting through, or are you right with the Lord? Are you obeying? Is there an area where God has said to do something and you're willingly disobeying him? Are you asking in his will? The third prerequisite is right motives. James says, ye ask and ye receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. To ask amiss means to ask for the wrong motive. I'm asking this request for selfish motives. You ever prayed like that? Oh, I have. I've prayed and you know, it's like immediately the Lord said, you don't really need that. You know, we have needs and we have wants. We have desires, right? Boy, I sure would like that. I'm going to start praying for that. Well, make sure it's the right motive. God loves to bless his children, but we need to ask with the right motives. And so these are requests to answer, or prerequisites to answer prayer. And when we meet these prerequisites, we can claim Matthew 7, verse 7. Look again what it says. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. The youngest child knows what it's like to ask. If you have children, you know that children ask. They ask a lot of questions. They ask for things. They ask and they seek, don't they? Your children ever seek you out just to know where you're at? You with younger children, yeah. That means you're probably maybe hiding from them, trying to get a moment alone maybe, you know, but they just seek you out just to know where you're at. And then, if you're behind closed doors, they may even, what? Knock. Is there a fire in your part of the house that you need me to know about? Why are you knocking on the door? But they do. Children do that. And the verbs, ask, seek, and knock, are interesting. They're all present imperative verbs. It means ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Jesus is talking here about persistent, prevailing prayer. It's the kind of prayer James talks about in James chapter 5, where he says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's illustrated in Luke 11. Notice Luke 11 with me. This is another time Jesus said this about ask, seeking, and knocking. But in Luke 11, in verse 5, this is right after he had given them the model prayer. And this is really Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount. It's not as long, it's a little bit shorter version. He'd just given the model prayer. And then he says, verse 5, and he said, Jesus said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are in bed, or with me in bed, I cannot arise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him and many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So Jesus says the same thing he said, but then Luke adds this interesting little story, an illustration about needing some food, and you don't have it, so you go to your neighbor and say, hey, I need some food. I've got some guests that just dropped in on me. And he said, I don't have anything. We're in bed. Leave us alone. I'm not leaving. I need some food. Did you not hear me the first time? And eventually he says, okay, man, here's the bread. And Jesus says, yet because of his importunity. And this importunity means persistence. You're persistent in prayer. You want it so bad, you're not going to give up praying. And then, yet I say unto you, ask. So it's a persistent ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Notice the promise. And it shall be given you. And you shall find. And it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So Jesus is saying here, in the context of this passage of Scripture, he says, if you're going to do unto others as you want them to do to you, in other words, if you're going to give yourself totally to them, be sacrificial for them, and live for others, and this is how we live for the Lord, really, it's living for others. If you do this, you have from me some promises of my supply that will not fail. You want to do something for somebody? How do you get what you need? Ask. You want to love somebody? I don't have the love to love that person. Ask. Seek. Knock. So what I'm saying is God promises will not fail in this matter. And if you look at verse 6, He also gives us the wisdom of when to give and when not to. We need wisdom, don't we? He says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before the swine. So when do you feel like you're wasting your time trying to help somebody? Casting your pearl before the swine. When do you feel like you shouldn't do that because you're kind of like throwing away your advice or your help? How do you know when to do that and when not to do that? Ask. Seek. Knock. You know, Lord, the Lord is available to us. That's what He's saying. My promises are there for you. And then in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Boy, we need wisdom, don't we? Oh, I pray for wisdom so often. I see the phone, you know, I see the phone's ringing. I see, God, I need wisdom. Even if I don't know the number person calling, Lord, I need wisdom to just give me your wisdom. And God says, I'll give it to you. Ask, seek, knock. So God promises supply what we need. Secondly, God's pattern is our example. Verses 9 through 11. Or what man is there of you if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? The thought continues, loving others as ourselves. God has gives us an easily discernible picture of His loving pattern as a pattern for us. And He uses something very, very practical. Anyone in their right mind can understand what Jesus is talking about. If your son is hungry and he wanted bread or cheeseburger, whatever, you wouldn't give him a stone or a rock and say, "There, take that." You wouldn't do that. If he asked for a fish or fish sandwich, right? You wouldn't give him a snake, Weston. Not very many people like snakes. No, but the idea is you wouldn't give him a serpent or something that would harm him. You see, and then he says, if ye being evil. Now, he's not talking about an evil person or a harsh person. He's talking about if ye being evil, sinners. We're all sinners. The Bible says that. We're all sinners. So that's what he's saying. If ye, as a person, you would be good to your children. And I love these part of the verse 11. I highlighted it. How much more? Don't you love the how much more of God? How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them to ask Him? How much more? You see, when we love others like we would like to be loved, we demonstrate to this world what kind of God we serve. And you say, I don't know if I can do that. Ask, seek, knock. We can do the commands of God, or He would never put them in the Bible. But we can't do them on their own. We can't do them on our own. The law, the Ten Commandments, were a picture of what God expected. But they were a mirror to show man that you can't keep the law in and of yourself. You need a Redeemer. You need someone. In the New Testament, we have the advantage of having the Holy Spirit, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, living His life in us. He lives in us and He enables us to fulfill these commands that He gives. So God's pattern is our example. And then thirdly, God's purpose is the finished product, verse 12. Therefore. Now see, when you see a therefore, you always look what it's there for, right? In other words, therefore is a transitioning word, but it always, when you see that in the Bible, you may want to read again what He just said. In other words, ask, seek, knock. I'm your pattern. I can give you much more than you as a person would give your own children if they ask. Ask, seek, knock. All of that. Now, because of this, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. God's purpose in teaching us the Sermon on the Mount is stated right here. His perfect love is reflected in a Christian when we treat others as we want to be treated. Therefore, looks back. Because we have His unlimited provisions. Because we have the power to do what He tells us to do. Because He treats us in love. We can do this commandment. And it's positive oriented. Every other form of this golden rule is not really golden at all. It's centered on self. In other words, many have said, well, Jesus just kind of copied Jewish tradition. Jesus just kind of copied other religions. Well, let me quote to you some of their golden rules. The Jewish rabbi Hillel at that time said, what is hateful to yourself, do not to someone else. Okay, sounds similar, doesn't it? The book of Tobit in the Apocrypha teaches, what thou thyself hatest, to no man do. Confucius said, what you do not want done to yourself, do not do to others. So it sounds similar, but it's the negative side. It says, do not, but Jesus said, do this. You see, it's not so hard to refrain from harming others as it is difficult to take the initiative in doing good for them. And that's what Jesus said. You take the first step. Modeling must accompany your message, is what Jesus is saying. You do to them first. In other words, you want to be forgiven? Forgive. You want affirmation? Affirm somebody. You need a gentle touch from someone? Be gentle to someone. You need friends? Be friendly. You need love? Give love. You need respect, give respect. You need to be trusted, trust. You see, here's an exercise maybe you want to do this afternoon. Write down how you want to be treated by others. Just think about that for a few minutes. Write down, you know, this is how I'd like to be treated. A, B, C, D. I need love. I would like to be affirmed. I would like, to be trusted. And then look at that list and do it. Do it to others. That's what Jesus is saying right here. And you say, how can I do that? You don't understand how hard it is to forgive. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. You see, if it was easy to do, it wouldn't be a command. You know, He's commanding us here how to show this world that there is a God and He's alive and He lives in us. It's not natural to forgive. It's natural to get even. Matter of fact, the world, I've heard the world spin on the golden rule is do unto others before they do unto you. Right? No. That's not at all what Jesus is saying. So, Jesus said, what do I need? What is it that you need from this person? Do it. And then He says, for this is the law and the prophets. That's a huge part of that verse. The law and the prophets is what was the Old Testament. That's another way of saying the complete Old Testament. So Jesus is saying the Old Testament is wrapped up in this verse right here. He said it here. He said it back again. Let's look at Matthew, or fast forward to Matthew 22. Verse 34, but when the Pharisees had heard that He had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked Him a question, tempting Him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So this is Jesus saying what He said again, only this time He kind of elaborates on it. He gives a little bit more commentary on it. He says, and the second is like it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you know this morning you love yourself? You know, people say, well, you need to love yourself. No, you do love yourself. Love your neighbor as thyself. The implication is you love yourself. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but cherisheth it and nourisheth it. These people say, I just hate myself. I want to take my life. No, you're in love with yourself. Your problem is everyone else isn't in love with you. It's either the truth or God's a liar. No, you love yourself. So He says, love thy neighbor as yourself. You love yourself. On these two, all the law and the commandments, that's a huge statement. In other words, and this doesn't mean you can't read the Old Testament, because you need to read the Old Testament. But, I want to tell you know what this much of the Bible right there means? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's what He's saying. Do unto others as you had them doing to you. Huge statement. You see, this is like, oh, I say it more often. Christianity is so radical in the day and age we live. And in America, we have had it good, so to speak. We've been able to exercise our religion to a point, but we're seeing hostility increasing more and more. And I believe we'll see it more and more. But the truth is, are we going to live for the Lord like He says we do? When we do, we're going to make a difference in people's lives. It's going to be such a difference. And here's the advantage that we have. Jesus Christ lives in us and gives us the power to take the initiative to love. You say, I need to forgive that person, but they haven't asked yet. I've heard people say that. I've heard people say that, and then that person dies. And so then they're bitter because they never did have that person never ask. That person wasn't going to ask. Jesus said, forgive. You see, I understand with forgiveness, the whole cycle of forgiveness can't be complete until that person would ask for forgiveness. But that may never happen. But you know what? We have forgiven. We have left the door open. Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That doesn't mean every person is forgiven, but it's available to every person. The door's open. And when we forgive first, the door's open. So if you want to be forgiven, forgive. If you want love, love. Man, I want to tell you something too. This will transform your marriage. You say, well, I'll just love her when she starts cooking better for me. I would say, why don't you cook? But that's probably not a good idea. But I just need to be affirmed by her. I'm going to withhold my love from her because she's not giving me the affirmation that I need. Why don't you start giving her some affirmation? Well, I just want a little respect around here. Why don't you start respecting people? You see, it transforms every area of our lives. I'm telling you, this is so convicting. This is so convicting. I think we need to just memorize this verse because it's so convicting to how we live our lives. We default back to self, don't we? We default back to wanting to get even. When God says, is that the way you want people to treat you? No, no, you don't. So do unto others. You're writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the word deeds that you do and the words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? God, help us to live out our rule of righteousness in our relationships with others. Lord, thank you for your word this morning. It is very convicting, but Lord, thank you. At the same time, I tell you, thank you for living in us and through us. And now help us to apply these things to our lives. Lord, if there's anyone here today that has never received Jesus as their Savior, they don't realize that He died for them personally, I pray that today that you might open that heart for that person or those people today to realize their need for Jesus Christ. That He shed His precious blood so that we might be forgiven. He rose again the third day. And He's in heaven right now. And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon Him shall be saved. Lord, if there's one here today that needs to make the call, I pray that that would happen today. Even in this auditorium. Have Your will and way in every one of our lives, Lord. Help us to live out these verses, we pray. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand this morning. Brother Rick's going to sing. This is a time of invitation. It's a time where you can respond to how God's spoken to your heart. You can come here and pray. You can pray right where you're sitting. You can just pray standing if you'd like. But respond to how God has spoken to you today in this part of the service. Thank you. Let's sing that chorus together. Lord, lay some soul. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart, and love that soul through me, and may I faithfully do my part to win that soul.